Well, can you believe it is the year 2023? I just looked at this. We are 8 years past when Back to the Future went to the future. For those of you who don't know what Back to the Future is, first, shame on you. Second, you should watch the trilogy. It's great, family friendly. But we got a great year planned. Hey, next week, as the pastors are going to be gone this whole week to Orlando, Florida, to meet with some... I didn't want sympathy or your maybe lack of sympathy. We're going to meet up with some other Wesleyan pastors and spouses and have a great conference together. But Pastor Arlie Davis will be preaching next week. Yes. And Pastor Arlie is going to help us start a series where we're going to run through an 8 week, 9 week, including Pastor Arlie, we're going to run through the Sermon on the Mount. And through those 8 weeks, we're going to hear the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's a teaching team series, so you're going to be hearing from me for sure, but you're also going to be hearing some of our other pastors as well. And if you're in Sunbury and you're just now joining us, hey, thanks for showing up on little sleep, maybe some of you. But throughout this next series, starting on the 22nd, I believe it is, the 22nd, January 22nd, we're going to have live preaching at Sunbury. Pastor Ryan and Pastor Billy are going to be preaching live the words of Jesus. And so we're really excited about that. And I know you too are Sunbury. But today, we're going to be talking about a new creation. As we start a new year, we're going to study a life who was changed or made new because of the presence of Jesus. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus, and maybe some of you might reference him as Zach. It's a little bit easier to spell when you're writing it, so I might refer to him as Zach, but we have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means pure. That is the meaning of Zacchaeus, and you'll see some pure faith from Zacchaeus. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verse 8 to 10. That is our focus scripture of the day. But I'm going to surround that with some context before we actually get to talking about this incredible verse of transformation, of how Zacchaeus was more than just a wee little man. Zacchaeus was a concrete example of a sinful man who was changed by the compassion of Jesus Christ, and with the stunning amazement of the crowd. Now, how many of you have made a New Year's resolution? How many of you, by a show of hands, you made a New Year's resolution? Statistically, maybe 5% of you are raising your hands. I don't know online or Sunbury how many of you raised your hands, but statistically, 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Most of them are in the younger millennial and Gen Z generations. Of that 40%, only 23% make it through week one. 36% make it past a month. Overall, only 9% of people actually follow through on their New Year's resolutions. 91% actually end up failing. So it might be safe to say that if you want a change in your life, maybe the New Year's resolutions might not be the most effective way to make some positive, lasting, lifelong change. But we're going to read a story of a lifelong change today, the source of lifelong change, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we're going to see Jesus knocking at the door of a heart of a sinner, and a sinner opening the door of his heart and inviting Jesus in. And through the presence and power of Jesus Christ, he is radically changed. But isn't that the mission of Jesus Christ? He's come to seek and save the lost. This is his mission. But sometimes we as church people, we as believers, can sometimes think that it's all about us and not so much about them, but Jesus came to die for them. The second Friday of January is called Quitter's Day. Yeah, 2 weeks. For some reason, that second weekend, people just can't make it through. But we know in Jesus Christ, there's not only an earthly lasting change in him, there's an eternal lasting change in him. And so before we dig into some text, I'm gonna pray. Father, I pray against any distraction right now. I pray that I would just get out of the way and that your Holy Spirit would shine through. Help me preach this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's a new year. It's a new us. The bottom line for today is we all have greatness inside of us, but sometimes that greatness will request change. Sometimes the greatness will request change in our life. And we have an incredible changing story today. But first, let me give you some human perspectives on Zacchaeus, the crowd's perspective of Zacchaeus. And we call this the crowd's extrospection. And yes, I looked it up. Extrospection is a word. It's the opposite of introspection. It's an external inspection of our lives, of what maybe the world would see or maybe other people would see in us. And so the crowd had this extrospection on who Zacchaeus was. The Pharisee stood by himself. This is Jesus now, a chapter before our main text. And Jesus is talking about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And we're gonna end a little bit later in the sermon with the difference and why Jesus gave this example. But first he's talking about this Pharisee who stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. You know, the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I got. I tithe, I fast. But those tax collectors, thank goodness, you didn't make me like them. And so you know culturally from this text that tax collectors aren't liked very well. They have a terrible reputation. See, the crowd literally hated tax collectors, the crowd being the Jewish people of that day. But it shows a lack of liking in tax collectors. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of the sinner. So this is why when Jesus calls Zacchaeus and invites him to his house, this is why the crowd mutters this. What? This is the Messiah. He's going to eat with sinners? What's happening here? Or wait, is there something more to this? Wait, it can't, because we are taught not to hang out with sinners. We are taught not to invite sinners into our home. But now Jesus, the Messiah, the one that prophecy is all about. Wait a second. Why is he inviting a tax collector? Zacchaeus isn't worthy of Jesus' attention. Sinners aren't worthy of Jesus' love and time. See, Jesus came to shake things up. Jesus came to help the Jews not to see the law so much as people, as relationships are more important. So Jesus is now having this story and living the example of the change that he wants to see in the church of that day. And then we have Zacchaeus' own introspection. So we know what the crowd thinks of him. We know what the religious people think of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus knew this as well. But great self-awareness is actually one of the most important things for change. We admit that we're sinners. That is a self-awareness. We're in need of a savior. That is a self-awareness. And so Zacchaeus knew he was a wealthy tax collector. And those two things, being wealthy and a tax collector, was a huge issue on giving your life over to Jesus. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, so he managed tax collectors. So he was kind of the worst of the worst of tax collectors, and he was wealthy. It is very hard for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God or to give their life over to Jesus. Why? Because money is so easy in becoming a god to us all. But Zacchaeus felt something. This lifestyle, of having money, of having luxury, of having privilege, there's still something missing. There's still an emptiness inside of me. Seemingly, I would have everything, but money is not a God and money is not everything. But when we replace God with money, we're actually empty. And our boy Zach here in the story knew this. But he was a go-getter. He was a go-getter for the truth. He realized, he became self-aware that, wait, life isn't all about possessions. Life isn't all about money. And so there was a self-awareness, and he had a go-getter personality, and this served him well. He wanted to see who Jesus was. See, he was in Jericho at the time, and he knew, he got word somehow, Jesus is coming through. But because he was short, I know Zacchaeus, I'm with you. On a good day with shoes on, I'm 5'9". Graduated high school and played football, 5'7". I wish, Zach, I was 6 foot. Might have been a little bit easier for me. But because he was short, because he had this limitation, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree just to see Jesus. Since he knew Jesus was coming this way. See, Zacchaeus didn't let limitations limit him on seeing who Jesus was. See, he was willing to risk embarrassment to climb this tree, to run. Respected men weren't known as runners back then in this culture. But because he was a go-getter, because he realized and he was self-aware that something was missing in his life, he ran up and he climbed a sycamore tree just to see who Jesus is, because he knew of the life change that Jesus brought to people. And he wanted this. And he thought if he could just get a glimpse, he had heard about Jesus, but if he could just see him, if he could just get close to him, maybe he could be fulfilled somehow. He knew Jesus maybe didn't come for sinners, because this is what he had been taught. I'm a sinner, so I'm not worthy. But something in him caused him to think, well, maybe I am. But do things that we have limit us from getting to Jesus? See, here at Christ Wesleyan, we have a vision of doing things we've never done before to reach people we've never reached before. We're willing to run ahead so that we can be in a position where we allow Jesus to be seen through us. Those without Jesus, do they know that they can be in a position to see or to be seen by Jesus? See, the church is a representation of Jesus. Us, believers, Christians, the church. See, Jesus is interceding on our behalf right now in heaven. He's not here, so he sent something called the church, you and me, to represent who he is. And I don't know if you've seen polls lately, but people aren't exactly running ahead and climbing a sycamore tree to see more of Jesus. In fact, it seems like more people are being pushed away by the church because of maybe judgment, or they don't feel like they can be worthy enough to go to church or be in a church circle. But Christians, it is our duty to make sure we put Jesus in a position where he can be seen. So why are people fleeing the church at record numbers? You see, as evangelical Christians, we need to be really aware of the danger of in 30 to 40 years, evangelical Christianity not existing. And so something needs to change. There needs to be a new us. And I believe this picture of Zacchaeus gives us a really good example of how we need to proclaim Jesus to our world. Because I think Jesus wants us to get past our traditions and past maybe some of our view of who Jesus is, so that we can reach out to a world who is in desperate need of him. See, by doing the recovery church, by starting the recovery church, we are now in the presence of people who've been outcast or marginalized by most churches. Most churches wouldn't start a ministry like recovery church. But we do, because we want to do things we've never done before to reach people we've never reached before. And God is blessing that, because people are finally seeing Jesus maybe a little bit differently than the way the church has represented Jesus. And I'm not saying we've always got it wrong. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that the numbers don't match up of people who are seeking Jesus. Actually, they might be seeking Jesus. They're just not seeking the church, which is a huge issue if the church is supposed to be representation of Jesus. So who is this Jesus? We know how the crowd thought of Zacchaeus. We know how Zacchaeus thought of Zacchaeus. Now, what's Jesus's reflection of who Zacchaeus is? Jesus and Zacchaeus. This is so important. Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. See, Zacchaeus was in a position where Jesus saw him. A tree is a strange spot for somebody to be, especially somebody like Zacchaeus. But Jesus will always see us where we're at. He will always see us where we're at. Just the fact that Jesus can see us, maybe for some of you watching online, that may be something you've never thought of before. Man, Jesus doesn't see me. I'm not that important to Jesus. Or I might be doing things that Jesus wouldn't approve of, so he's not even bothered by me. That's wrong. He actually came to seek and save you. See, he sees us. He's interceding for us on behalf of the Father while his Spirit indwells in us. But not only did Jesus see Zacchaeus, Jesus knew Zacchaeus. And it's nowhere recorded in my Bible. Here's what's recorded. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. There wasn't this, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, don't worry, that's just Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector, he's a sinner. That's just Zacchaeus, don't mind him, don't bother him. And that's why he knew the name Zacchaeus. No, he knew Zacchaeus because he knew who Zacchaeus was. Because when Jesus says he has come to seek and save the lost, that means he pays attention to those people. And so he paid attention to who Zacchaeus was. Now again, this is Jericho. Jesus is just passing through Jericho. And he sees Zacchaeus and he knows Zacchaeus's name. Maybe you need to know this truth, that Jesus, God, knows you. He knows your name. But then Jesus knocked. He not only saw him, he not only knew who he was, but Jesus knocked. There was this invitation that sounds like this. I must. Zacchaeus, I see your faith. Man, what a pure faith. All you wanted to do was just see who I was. See, Zacchaeus didn't know Jesus would speak to him, let alone invite him over to his house. He just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus because maybe just being in the presence of Jesus in that way would maybe change who he is. But then Jesus says, man, look at that guy in the tree. He wants to see me so bad. He didn't let his limitations get to him. I must stay at your house, Zacchaeus. So he came down at once, Zacchaeus did, and welcomed him. I love this. Welcomed him gladly and really probably surprisingly. What? Jesus has invited me. But Jesus didn't care what the crowd thought. Jesus didn't care that the crowd didn't like Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't care that the crowd wanted Jesus to be something that he's not. And so Jesus was showing the crowd in this moment when he says, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. See, Zacchaeus just wanted a glimpse. But Jesus offered Zacchaeus more than a glimpse. He offered him his presence. And because of this presence, we see Zacchaeus, he heard the knock, and he opened the door. And because he opened the door and allowed Jesus in, you see this life change happen. And so here's our main text for today, because this is the transformation that Zacchaeus experienced, a sinner like Zacchaeus experienced. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. He's unlocking the greatness of giving. and how God has blessed him in giving. And now he's realizing because of a life change with Jesus, he's going to give half his possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation. Salvation to this sinner has come to this house. Because of Zacchaeus' faith, the whole house is now saved. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Have you ever been asked why Jesus came? Sure, for atonement. Sure, to die on the cross, to raise again, to defeat death, yes. But while Jesus was here on earth, he came, the Son of Man from heaven, the Son of God from heaven, came to seek and save. To seek the lost. To seek the lost. So church, as representations of who Jesus is, what do you think we should be doing? Not comfortable in here. Not being comfortable with just coming to church every Sunday. But in this new year, maybe a new year for you, a new you for you. That's a funny statement. A new you for you. But if Jesus came to seek the lost, then we as a church need to seek the lost, right? Seek the unbelievers. Maybe sometimes having conversation with sinners is a way that we can seek the lost. Because if we seek the lost, Jesus is going to save the lost. And so we can bring more and more people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, this type of life change we see in Zacchaeus, it wasn't emotion. A lot of New Year's resolutions is based on emotions, which is why only 9% of them work. See, this isn't just emotion. This is true life change that we as a church need to be responsible for. To allow life transformation to happen for others. In Mark 2:17, you can write this verse down. We read it a little bit earlier. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. It's the sick. And so we as the healthy ones, the church, the healthy, we need to be making sure we're in a position where we're allowing not only Christ to work in us, but allowing us to be Jesus to the world so that the world can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's be more like Jesus, not like the crowd. Let's be more like Jesus, not more like the crowd. We just sang it as one church together. We want to be more like Jesus. So maybe in 2022, you might not have done a great job at that. Maybe you could have done a better job of seeking the lost. And now here, January 1st of 2023, maybe it's a new year and a new you. And maybe we need to look at it as a new us. If you're down at Sunbury, Pastor Billy is going to take you the rest of the way. Because I see this truth, not only in the crowd here in Luke 19, but even today, it's easy, right? We tend to see others' mistakes, other sins, especially when they're more obvious. The obvious sins, right? What is that? And we're quick to judge, right? We're quick to judge, but forget to look at our own inner selves. That at one time, we were all lost. We were all in a position where we're sinners in need of a Savior. And so Jesus found us where we're at, that life transformation, John, that I talked to you about just less than an hour ago. Jesus found you where you're at. Jesus sees you. He knows you. And he wants a relationship with you. And so let's look beyond the mistakes and beyond the sin and really look at who people are. Because Jesus came to seek and save them. So here's the rest of the story in Luke 18. So we heard about the Pharisee who is praying, who is fasting twice a week, who's giving a tenth of his income. Jesus goes on, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, the Pharisee was doing church to glorify and exalt himself. But we need to humble ourselves because God will humble the proud. See, there is no need for us to climb a tree, though, to be seen by Jesus. There's no need for us to do that. Because if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what church? You will be saved. There's an assurance here, the declaration and the belief in your heart. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. There's that assurance of salvation that you can have, once a sinner, now redeemed. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and you will be justified. It doesn't matter who you are, how bad you think you are. Jesus came to seek and save you. See, Jesus is our better present and our better future. There's no need to climb a tree to be seen. See, Jesus wants your life. He wants your all. He wants your everything. How hard is that? But it's because he has your most purposeful life. He has it. And he wants to give that to you. Your most purposeful life, he has it. He wants to give it to you by having a relationship with him, so he can guide you and direct you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, you're new. It's not about you. Your new is all about Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved. Through what? Faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Why? So that no one can boast. It's not of yourselves. No one can boast. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his fame. We are saved to make him famous, not ourselves famous. We have greatness inside of us. But sometimes, actually every time, when we give our life over to Jesus Christ, there has to be life change. Because life change is you showing that you actually do believe in your heart that God is who he says he is, that Jesus is who he says he is. We all have greatness inside of us, but sometimes we need to allow that change, that we are once sinners, but now we are redeemed people. We are new creations. Our old is no longer with us, believer. Your old has been cast off because of Jesus, and now your new is here. I want to sing together, and this wasn't planned, but I'm glad Holly is flexible. Because there is a song, More of You. If more of you, if I need more of you in my life, and it's actually going to take less of me, take it all. Because it's not about me, it's about you. Take it all. Maybe some of you today, January 1st, 2023, it's a new year, it's a new you, where you're going to say, Jesus, take everything. Because I want more of you. And sometimes it's going to take less of me. So as a church, can we just all stand together? And we're going to sing together as we start this new year. I don't know about you, but I'm excited at what this new year is going to bring. I'm excited. But let's just all proclaim this truth before we go out into the world and be Jesus to this world. Come on, sing it out.
Means less of me. Take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me.
Come on, proclaim it out. Be loud about it.
Is all I need. Take everything. More of you means less of me. Take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take
Father, that's our prayer. And we need your Spirit to give us strength to live out that prayer. But Lord, when you take everything, Father, help us to realize why. Because we need more of you. Because you want more of us. Challenge us personally. Challenge us as one church. Challenge us as your church to be willing to do anything to make your name known. Because we believe you bring life transformation that is lasting forever and ever and ever. And if we truly believe that, our decisions, our lifestyle, our ministries here at this church will reflect that. Father, use us, humble us in your name as a church, as a team together. Unify us in your mission, and that is to seek and save the lost. And help us when we don't do that well. Forgive us. But Father, give us strength to affect not only this valley for you, but this nation and this world so that you can live on in us and through us, even long past when we're gone. Father, we love you. We thank you. Help us to be better, do better. Father, do a new work in us, personally and as one body. We love you. All God's people agree together by saying, amen. It's kind of weird for me to preach only once on a Sunday, but I think I went way over time, which was intentional. I could have gone maybe another 15 minutes, but hey, we know God's word, don't we, church? We know because God loves us, we need to love as well. And we need to show that kindness because kindness leads to repentance, right? And that's what we desire. Hey, God bless you in this new year. It's so good to see you all. Thanks for making it out. And hey, let's pray together that this year is our best year yet, all right? God bless you. Hey, we love you, but more importantly, God loves you. God bless.